Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
You're listening to Griefcast with me, Carrie Adloyd. How do we grieve for someone? How does it change and evolve as we get older? My dad died when I was 15, and it took me many, many years to be able to express what I had gone through. So I decided to create Griefcast, a chance to talk, share and laugh about the weirdness of grief and death. But with comedians, so it's not that depressing, I promise. Each time I talk to a different comedian about their own personal experience of grief, as we remember someone that they have lost along the way. Whether it was a long time ago or you've just joined the club, this is a chance to talk about the peculiar human process of death. Welcome to Griefcast.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey Griefsters, hope you're having an okay week. Just a reminder that it is November, which is Pancreatic Cancer Awareness Month, which is why we had the episode last week with Olivia Williams. Thank you so much for your lovely comments about it. If you head to the PCUK website, you can find more information about the petition they're running called Demand Survival Now, which is intended to increase survival rates by campaigning to the government, whoever the government ends up being. So yeah, if you did miss that episode, you want more information, do head to the Pancreatic Cancer UK website where you can find that information. Also, we have some best of 2019 episodes coming up. So we did this last year where we just choose clips from the episodes we've had all year and put them all together so you can just relive your fave moments of Griefcast. So if you do have a moment that you particularly loved and you'd like to hear again on Now That's What I Call Griefcast, which we do at Christmas, please tweet us at the Griefcast is the best way to let us know. This week I'm talking to stand-up comedian Carmen Lynch. Carmen is based in New York, and she's been seen on The Late Show with David Letterman, The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, Conan, The Late Show with Craig Ferguson. She's also been in The Good Wife, Inside Amy Schumer, and she regularly comes over here to do the Edinburgh Festival as well. She's a brilliant stand-up, and she actually has a stand-up show called Dance Like You Don't Need the Money, which you can actually stream and watch from her website, I think, if you head to CarmenLynch.com. Carmen is based in New York, and she was living there during 9/11. Carmen came in to talk to me about working in Manhattan that day. Welcome to Griefcast. I'm here today with stand-up comedian Carmen Lynch. Hello.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure. Where are you from in America? Obviously, you're American.
I live in Queens in New York,
right.
But I grew up in Virginia, and then I also grew up in Spain. My mom's from Spain.
Wow.
There was a lot of traveling.
So you would go back and forth?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. How was that? Did you spend a lot of time in Spain?
My dad was in the Navy, and he met my mom in Barcelona, so he was stationed there for a while, which was cool,
because,
you know, my whole family lives out there. And I go every year to see my sister, because she lives out there with her family.
Oh, wow. So did she, but she grew up in America same as you, and then went back?
She's and then fell in love with a guy at my cousin's wedding in Barcelona, and then did literally the opposite. My mom did.
Wow.
She fell in love with a Spanish guy.
Oh, my God, that's so funny.
Yeah.
So you do your comedy in... You can do Spanish stand-up as well. How is that, doing it in two languages?
It's different. I mean, it's fun because I feel like an open micer when I do it in Spanish, but I have all the experience of a comic. So it's just getting the word order right and making sure they get the joke.
Like, yeah.
I was in Spain. I do it in Spain mostly when I visit family. And then I went to Costa Rica and it was just a completely different experience.
Yeah. Because my brother used to live in Brazil and obviously they speak Portuguese in Brazil. But like, his Portuguese friend was saying, like, it's so different. It's a bit like you have with English and American.
Totally.
And I found this when I was in LA. Like, I think it's actually really an annoying thing because you go to America and you think they speak English, but you don't. You speak American English and it's almost like speaking French. It's completely different. And obviously you can get by and you can read words, but sometimes I would say things and I could see they had completely misunderstood me, even though I had said what I considered a kind of normal sentence.
Yeah, and it happens here when I do stand up here sometimes. Yeah. I'm always like surprised if a joke works that I don't think is going to work.
Yeah.
And I have to change like drug names, you know.
Yeah.
Because you guys have a different name for a drug or whatever.
Yeah. But it's just the intonation. Like, it just changes everything. So I imagine it's the same with like Spain and Costa Rica. It's like, yeah, you have the, you could obviously, if you were like, please tell me where the bakery is, they would understand you. I need to return my library books, they would understand you. But when you're like, oh, I'm talking about emotions and feelings and...
Or like slang.
Slang, yeah,
like the dirty words are different, just like they are here.
Yeah.
Like I can say our version of a curse word, but you guys have your own.
Yeah.
And maybe it sounds weird if I use yours, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I never really talked about this word before. I say, oh God, I hope... I'll have to put this explicit. Here, the word cunt is quite an offensive word.
I love that. Yeah.
But it's also, you can use it, especially in London, if like, oh, it's a stupid cunt. Like, it's not quite, you know, it doesn't. But someone told me that in America, you'd only use it to a woman.
Yes.
You wouldn't say it to a man.
No, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, see, here you'd be like, oh, he's such a cunt. Like, you'd be like, he's like a real, I mean, like, he's a real, real asshole. Like, he's the king of the assholes if he's a cunt.
It's also the strongest word we have.
It is definitely the strongest word we have. I use it frequently and I'm going to have to put an apology to the start of this because some people hate it. But I love it.
But it's
a fun word.
You know, the words that you don't get to hear as often,
yeah.
especially if they're friendly, like, hey, you cunt. Yeah. You know, like, no one says that.
And no, just... and also for English, I think anything, it's the Anglo-Saxon words. Like, they have that lovely, like, sound to them. That's why it's so good. It's like, everything about it is just
Well, the C sound is always so good.
Oh, it's so good, yeah. What would be your equivalent of, like, oh, it's a bad word, but I'm using it like, oh, you cunt. Like, do you have...
I mean, like, dick, none of those really matter anymore.
We would say you dick. Yeah,
or
you're
asshole,
such a dick.
Like,
asshole,
but it's
yeah.
not...
You wouldn't like get offended,
hard.
Yeah. Although I would say the C word, which I've been dropping all over, like it is still the worst word. Like if someone said that in a pub if two guys said that, you'd be like, whoa, okay. It depends
really?
How they said it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you cunt. It'd be like, that's all right. But if it's like, you're a fucking cunt, you'd be like, whoa, fight's about to happen.
Yeah.
So yeah.
But you can say like, hey, happy birthday, you cunt. Like that's okay.
Well, people can disagree. You'd have to really know them. You'd have to really know them.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I probably shouldn't use it on anyone.
And also in American, I think it sounds much stronger. Like, because I think it's a London thing, because I'm from London. It's like cunt. It's like, I can kind of throw it away. But cunt, like, it's like...
Yeah, cunt.
Yeah, yeah. If anyone's listening to this about death, they're going to be like, whoa, guys, this is not what I expected. I'm really sorry. I have no problem with the word, but I have friends who literally will be like, Harriet, don't say the C word. I'm like, my God, really? In this day and age, we can't. Also, I have the rule that if I have one, I'm allowed to say it.
Right.
I'm allowed to use it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I still call people pricks as well. I don't, you know.
Yeah, prick is. You don't hear it as often in the States, but it's not. It's not as.
You know what
insulting.
It meant, right?
Yeah.
You prick. Yeah, it's not. It's not major insult. I think English is quite nice though because English. It's all about intonation. Like,
you guys have such a beautiful accent, and I know, like, you know, everybody says that, but it's true. It's like...
We're milking it for all it's worth. That's how actors in America work. It's just by... They could be shit actors, but they just sound like this, and then they get jobs.
Yeah, but then you guys have so many actors that come to the States that I don't even know are from here, and their American accent is perfect.
I know, yeah. But that's a cultural thing of, like, we watch so much American telly and films.
Yeah.
So, like, most kids can do good American accents because they've watched Disney films.
Yeah.
So it's like it's in your ear all the time.
Yeah.
So I think it... I definitely could used to, like, when we were playing as kids, your go-to would be American because you'd watch Friends or you'd watched your films right. and stuff. So, like, you know, you knew it kind of thing.
Yeah, like on stage the other day, I said, see it, say it, sorted. And that last one got a big laugh. And I'm like, I must be saying it so ridiculously wrong.
What are you trying to say?
To see it. You know, the train, the tube is yes. see it, say it, sorted. But I love how it's sorted.
You are saying it really weirdly.
Oh, okay. But
well,
it's so fun.
Sorted.
So is it over the top? Yeah.
You're saying it. I guess, like, if I was like, sod it.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
You're saying it, like, really emphasized. Yeah. So it makes us laugh because it's like, you're saying it like you're Maggie Smith. Like, sort it.
Oh, right.
Most people be like, sort it.
What is a weekend? I love that line. She says that on that show.
Yeah, your English isn't bad, actually.
Is it?
Oh. Yeah, it's not bad.
Thank you. But cheers.
It's very posh. People can only do posh or, like, Cockney, I've noticed, with Americans. They can't kind of do, like, generic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just, like, sort of neutral.
I think it feels slower, so it's more fun.
Yeah.
It's like sorted. So I get to stretch it out, so then I don't have to talk as much.
Yeah. You know? I'm trying to think with America. I guess it's like if we were doing like New York, if I was talking like that. That's what you sound like. It's really thick. Like,
when I hear myself speak here, I can hear the just awful American, like, can you tell me where to go? Like, it just sounds so...
Yeah.
Over the top.
But that's how I felt in America. And you, as an English person in America, you start getting posher. You just unintentionally, plus because they can't understand you if you speak quick.
Right.
They're looking at you so confused because they're like, they know you spoke English, but they do not know what you just said.
Right.
So you have to really slow it down and you end up getting a lot posher. Because it's just easier to get things that you need.
Right.
So when I was in shops, I would often resort to this because I was like, oh, can I have a cup of tea? What? I was like, cup of tea? May I have a cup of tea? And then they were like, oh, okay.
That does sound so posh.
Yeah, because you like cup of tea.
Yeah.
They just honestly didn't know what I was saying. And I was like, fucking hell, what do I have to do? This is so weird.
Do they treat you? Did you notice how they treat you? Like, I feel like people here are very nice.
Yeah, they were very, but when they don't understand you, they're not. They were very rude. And then as soon as I went posh, they were like, oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Like, oh, a tea for the lady. Sure. Yeah. So you still live in New York.
I live in New York.
And that might be relevant to what we're talking about. Who are we remembering today? Or we might not be remembering a specific person, but
many people.
Many
actually.
People. Yeah.
Well, I was going to talk about the 9/11 story that I had.
Yeah.
Which was like soon after I moved out there.
So you've been living in Virginia?
Virginia.
And then you moved to New York?
I moved to New York.
So were you right in the center?
I was temping at Goldman Sachs. I was a temp. They had a lot of artists at Goldman Sachs.
Yeah.
We had this. It was really fun, actually. One of the best jobs I ever had. It was just this room called the Fishbowl because all the walls were glass.
Wow.
And they would just throw in a bunch of artists in there and writers, singers. At that time, I wasn't even doing stand-up. I was in New York for acting. So then investment bankers would just come in and they would just drop all their work on you. And we would do like presentations like Excel and Word and sometimes
PowerPoint.
Why was it all
artists? That's so weird.
Because the Fishbowl, that room was open 24 hours. So they needed people who were like had
no
odd
schedule.
Jobs
yeah.
and no schedule.
Oh my God, that's fascinating. Because I also was an actor who used to temp and then went into comedy.
Really?
Yeah. And I used to go to investment banks and, but I would always be here. It was like they just put you on reception because you sound polite.
Yeah.
And you can sound, slightly polite and take a good phone call. But they would never like just drop you all in a bunch together because that sounds way more fun than what I had, which is sitting on a reception by myself.
And this was also before the financial crisis. So
yes, that's when I was temping.
Free.
Yes.
Yeah,
they used to bring
everything.
Me muffins and they said, help yourself. And one guy was like, just go on Facebook. We don't care. We're just paying you like for the hour to just sit here.
Oh, yours is better because we didn't even have access to, we only had access to like Goldman Sachs email. So I guess so they could monitor it.
Yeah.
And.
But before the crash, people forget like it was bad because obviously they had so much money, but I was temping so much before the crash when the money was so obvious.
The money and then they would drive us home because it was open 24/7. I had this shift of like 7 p.m. to 3 a.m.
Oh, my God.
So then you would just jump in a car. There'd be like a row of black cars, and you would just jump in, and they would drive you home.
That is a That is good. I did not get that. I had to get the tube home
at
the normal time. Wow, what a strange experience. So is that, that's in Manhattan?
Manhattan. That's right. Downtown.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I'd say like a 5-minute walk from the World Trade Center.
Wow, okay. So then what happened? 9/11?
I was still acting at the time, and then I became a comedian. So I shifted my hours to like more daytime
so that
I could have my nights free. And this wasn't the only floor. Like, they had fishbowls on every floor. So I'd be, every
That's
day you'd
mad.
Work with different people. So the day, so on 9/11, I was on a different floor. It was very quiet. There were probably just like 3 or 4 of us. And then we just heard that a plane crashed into one of the towers.
So you didn't, did you literally hear the plane?
No.
No, you didn't.
No, we just heard someone talking about it. Someone told us. Oh, and then I went, I always got coffee at this little place and the same muffin every day. Like, so I went across the street and I saw like, I guess smoke, something in the sky from far away from where my building. But I was just kind of like, whatever. And then I went back to work. And we didn't have access to the internet, I couldn't really look anything up. But then all we heard was like, oh, someone crashed into the tower. And then immediately we just thought it was like an accident. Like it was like one of those small planes with like 2 people.
Of course, because your brain at that point, you know, there obviously had been a lot of terrorist attacks before that. Someone going up in London in the 80s. Mm-hmm. But even I remember that, like the idea of someone, a whole plane was like that. Yeah, it didn't enter
Never.
Your brain. It was like, what? Like, no. Although, of course, we had the Lockerbie bombing in the United Kingdom by then. But yeah, I know what you mean. It just sounded so insane.
And it comes from a place of like being naive because you don't know.
Yeah.
So I remember texting my sister in Spain and being like, what's going on?
Wow.
You know, I heard whatever. And she was the only one that was up. I think my parents were probably at work or something.
Yeah.
She lives in Spain, so she was up. And 9/11 is a holiday in Catalonia, in Barcelona.
Wow.
So they're like celebrating Catalonia's independence on 9/11.
Oh my
So they're coming from like a place of like happiness, celebration.
Yeah.
And she's like, a plane crashed. And then suddenly they made an announcement that we can leave.
Well, they just said you can
leave.
Well,
they said something. There was like a rumor that a second plane crashed, but it was also like we were temps, so they don't care.
I know. I was a temp. So people literally don't know your name.
They don't know your name,
you're
and you're invisible.
Yeah.
And they're like, you can go.
Oh my God. And are you high up in your building? Are you quite high?
Yeah, I usually was on 20 or 21, but this was probably like 18 or something like that.
Fucking
but it was around that time. So
we
had this like little messenger system with other temps where you could be like, what floor are you on today? Do you want to get lunch?
Yeah.
So a couple of us were like, well, we can leave. So let's go check it out.
Oh my God.
And these weren't like close friends. These were temps, you know.
Yeah, that you know.
Because at this point, it's like 9 something in the morning. And all of my, friends, they were like, 3 to...
Right,
they were like other shifts.
Yeah.
So I'm early in the morning. So I'm like walking to see what's going on. And then you slowly start to see cops and lights and then, the do not cross.
Yeah.
That's when I realized what it was. No idea that it was a large plane. And then I saw people falling. And then you're in some kind of like trance.
Oh my God.
Because, we literally went from like, what's happening? Let's check it out. What, this poor man who probably didn't mean to crash into this
somewhere.
Building.
And
to,
I guess you're not thinking of the whole thing is collapsing either. You're just like, oh, okay.
Not at all.
Yeah, there's
not
some,
at all.
You're
and
imagining a building surviving and a plane
and
is
And a
crashed.
Plane, exactly.
That's what your brain does at that situation.
Like those little, just those little planes.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And then I see people falling, and it's not like they're close that I can like see their faces.
Mm.
I just see like little ants because, it's really high. Mm. So I see these people falling, and it's just this state of like, oh my God, what is happening right now? Still,
your brain can't process it.
Yeah. And it was on the other side. So, like, the water's on the other side. So, we're seeing a plane, but it's also smoky. So it's like you can't really see everything perfectly, but you can see that something bad just happened. And it was pretty quick, but then the earth just started shaking. And And I literally, and this part, to me, I look back and I'm like, what did I think that this Burger King awning was going to save me? And I just saw it, but it was so quick. It was like putting a white piece of paper in front of your face. Like, you couldn't see anything in a matter of seconds. So then I just remember hugging people. I mean, it was packed. There were a lot of people watching just like me. Like, yeah, they were just curious.
Like, what's going on?
Probably didn't even know what was happening. And again, didn't know that it was going to fall. So that was when the first one fell. So we were just holding each other. And then I remember the guy next to me, I can't even see him, but he started saying the Our Father. And I was like, this is it. This is it. This is over. And it happened that quickly where I was like, oh, my God. Literally 5 minutes ago, I was okay, and now I'm gonna die. Like, and the only people I thought about were my parents, not even my sister. Like, I only thought about, I was like, oh my God, this is gonna break their heart.
Yeah.
Like, and then just, I had so much, this is for later, but I had so much shame and just felt so stupid to like put myself in a place like that.
I know.
When all these people didn't do that and had to die.
I can understand as well, because I think, you know, God, everybody was affected by that. It was a global incident, and that's not to say it's more important than any other terrorist incident, but obviously it was a huge moment in world history. And I remember being a Londoner, there was watching the New Yorkers talking about it, and there was a sense of just utter shock, which as Londoners who'd have so many bombings, we don't have. And I remember being like, because we were raised like, you know, it can happen on the tube, like there's no bins anywhere on the tube because of the, you know, what happened in the 80s and the IRA. And now, of course, now they have these clear plastic bags. And I was brought up with a bomb that went off around the corner when in Wood Green when I was a kid. And it was this thing of like, it could happen, it could happen, it could happen if you lived in London. And so if there had been, you always talk like kind of just run, like, you know, don't go near stuff. And I remember with New York, seeing people being like, this had never happened there. And being like, oh, wow, like this is, of course, and I completely understand. If it wasn't in your vocabulary, why wouldn't you wander around and go, oh, what's happening?
Right, and I was very curious. Like, I'd go in high school, there was a fight, I was there, you know, like I would just go check it out. But I just felt so stupid for a long time after that.
Like,
just
if it's
so
not,
stupid.
You haven't been raised
I felt
with
guilty,
that.
You know, like it just, but anyway, so I was there and this man was saying the Our Father, and then I don't know exactly how much time.
Yeah, it's so fast.
But we were covered. I mean, it looked like those like war movies where everything is just gray and white. There, we were covered in soot.
Oh, my God.
And I remember these guys were like, come this way, come this way. And then someone shouting, the Pentagon was just hit. And and I was like, oh, my God, this is the end of the world.
Yeah.
Like, I did not know how. And I remember some people wanted to stay because they'd be like, stay in this building, in the lobby. We can keep. And then other people were like, we're going to the water. Let's go in here. And I was like, this guy knows what he's doing. I'm going with this guy. And so we just started walking toward the water. And I was like, I don't want to stay
Near. Yeah,
especially,
yeah.
You know, I just witnessed the first one falling. I don't want to be near the second one, you know.
Yeah.
So we just walked and
Was it completely cloudy at this point?
Everything's the same color.
Wow.
Like, and at this point I hadn't even like just I'm just in the zone.
Yeah.
Like, get the hell out of here.
Your body's telling you it's like just get
survivor
out.
Survivor mode.
Get out,
you know, and I love like survivor movies, like end of the world movies. So I was just like, let's get out of here. You know?
Yeah.
So I'm
find a leader, get some tin foods. Let's go.
Let's go. So we go down there and there's like a restaurant. It's kind of like an Omopan. I can't remember. It's like a little deli place.
Okay,
But they were now this is maybe, I don't know, 10 or 15 minutes of walking.
Yeah.
You know.
And were you just passing other people? People just walking, everyone's
people,
going different places.
Yes. It's sort of quiet, but it's not. Like, there's people, but everyone's doing their own thing. And I remember seeing a lobby full of people. And I was like, no, this is, you know.
So weird, isn't it? Everyone makes their choices. Like, once you're in the lobby, we're in the lobby, we're the safe ones. And if
totally.
You walk past them, you're like, you made a mistake.
And it was
Don't do that.
Like in Titanic, where they're like, some people are getting on the boat. Some people are going to stay and play the violin.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, everyone makes their own decisions.
Yeah,
so So we went to this little deli place, and I remember going in there, and now at this point, everyone is not gray because, you know, we've walked away. But the people that are walking, we're still all full of soot and stuff. And I remember going to the bathroom, and I looked at myself, and I just lost it because I hadn't even thought of it. And I looked like a goat. Like, I was just like, oh, my God, what just happened?
What
I had
no
idea. But I wanted to keep on moving. Yeah. I was like, I don't want to be here. So I just kept walking. And I lived in New Jersey at the time. So I would have had to go through the Lincoln Tunnel.
Wow.
And I was like, there's no way that's
open. No.
So my best friend, who had just started comedy with me, he worked as a manager at this restaurant on 14th Street in Union Square called Friend of the Farmer. So I was like, I'm just going to go to the restaurant.
Yeah, find my friend.
And find my friend. And so I'm walking and, you know.
So you're by yourself now? You've like lost your group?
Well, no, at this point, I hadn't. At this point, we're all walking towards
this weird group
north
that you formed. Yeah.
Like, it's just like, do you remember the blackout when all the lights went out in the States?
Oh,
in New York? And you just saw like trails of people walking or even on 9/11, like over bridges. It was kind of like that. And then at one point, we heard a rumble and everyone knew what that sound was. And then everyone just turned around and you just saw the second one. And they were both so different because one of them, I was right there. And the other one, I was close enough, but I was far enough as well to just notice the sky open up. And it was such a beautiful day that to watch it just go straight down and then just watch like grown men crying around.
Oh,
like it was just...
God.
It was such a surreal, it was like a movie.
Yeah.
I was like, this is not
That's
happening.
It, because of you, and you're right, because of, you know, Hollywood films and disaster movies, everything I saw that day just looked like a film. Like, I was like, I just want it to cut away to, you know, like Eddie Murphy in the cockpit, like punching someone. I was like, why is this not cutting away to the end? Why am I, what? And they just kept showing it and showing it, you know, and... Yeah, it was so mad. Weird enough, I was in Spain when it happened.
Oh, wow.
I was in Barcelona.
Oh, so you know about the
well,
parades
and I was
stuff?
Just thinking, yes, there was all those parades, and I don't think we ever connected. We were like, I wonder what those parades are. We thought they were, like, protesting against something. Because it was, obviously, it was the day of, Catalonia stuff.
Yeah.
And I'd completely forgotten that was the same day because we woke up in the morning, they went past our hotel all dressed in red with
in
their
red
flags.
And red and yellow, yeah.
Yeah. And then... Me and I was with my mum, and we'd just gone for like a little holiday away. And so that happened. And so we didn't know it happened all day because we went to the museums and went to the park, and we were queuing up for a restaurant. And there was an American couple in front of us. And then I was talking to my mum. He heard our English accent. He turned around. He said, I want to say thank you so much. You're prime minister today. You did a real good job. And we were like, thanks.
Yeah.
Didn't know what he was like after what, you know, we just want to get home. And me and my mum were like, what? Like, we had seen nothing, didn't know. And he was like, oh, there was a real bad New York. So we then eat this dinner going like, oh, he must, you know, he must be exaggerating. You know, again, your brain is like, get back to the hotel, turn it
on. It's like denial. Like, that, nothing like this
can
ever
you just
happen.
Can't.
Yeah.
And we turned it on and I saw it go in again and again. And, you know, and then we were sitting there thinking, we have to get on a plane home. We have to get on a plane. Like, we're already the worst, most anxious travelers anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a really... But I can't imagine just, I was in London for 7/7, so I do vaguely know that feeling. But to see a tower fall, it was, like you said, just so unbelievable. Your brain just goes, it isn't real.
It was both of them. I can't even say which one was more, like, shocking.
Yeah, they both have different...
Because they both had different perspectives.
Yeah,
and then just imagining everyone who's still in there, and then just silence when it's down.
Oh, my God.
And then just an open sky of, like, a beautiful day. And then...
Did anyone say anything, or did you just start
I just remember
again?
Crying.
Yeah.
I just remember hearing... Not, I didn't cry at that time, but I heard, like, people that you just wouldn't see crying on the street.
Yeah.
And then just back on the trail or whatever. And then I get to the Union Square area, and I am like, why is everyone staring at me? And that's because they're clean and I look like a zombie.
So you'd obviously come from the event.
The event, and I was like, whatever. And then I see Michael, my friend, outside of the restaurant, and he starts crying.
Oh, yeah.
And I run up to him, and then I start crying. And
that's when you realize what's happening, isn't it? When someone reflects it back at you, like you've been through something awful, and you're like, oh, yeah.
And you're like, I haven't seen anyone I know who's going to hug me, you know? Like, so we start crying, and he's bawling, like almost more than me. And I'm like, it's okay. I'm okay. And then he goes, this is another moment that's not supposed to be funny. But he goes, I thought you were my sister. He was waiting for his sister, who also worked down there. So at the same time, I was like, oh. Sorry.
Sorry. It's nice I'm here, too. Yeah. Oh, is it kind of nice? That's hilarious.
Yeah. And I remember it. I was like, I know, obviously know what he means. But I was just like, and then I thought of her because I'd known Michael for a while. So I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. His sister. And he's like, I haven't heard from her. So you know, he brought me in, and he lived literally across the street from the restaurant.
Wow.
So I just went up there, showered. He gave me clothes. Wow. I just shoved mine in a bag, and that's when it really started to hit me.
Yeah.
Like, and you know, no one on that day, everyone's like talking, and they've stopped working because they're they've heard about this. So I'm back at the restaurant, and my sister, I guess cell phones weren't. I can't remember, but I wasn't
They were just there. Like, it was not really... Yeah, not everyone had them. Like now.
And I couldn't get in touch with anyone. And I guess my parents had tried to get in touch with me. My sister. Yeah. Like, no one had heard anything. And so finally when... I don't even know if I used the landline at the restaurant or whatever. But I remember talking to my family. And then I just lost it again. That I had to go under the muffin counter. Of the restaurant because I was crying so much.
Oh my gosh.
So I'm under this muffin counter just talking.
I mean, that's
like,
a very comforting. If you feel sad and lost and vulnerable, where do you want to be? Near muffins.
Muffins.
I totally get that.
Right?
Like, muffins feel homely and safe, and nothing bad can happen under the muffin counter.
Nothing. And it wasn't even like they were crying. I think they were probably relieved.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just me just getting everything out. So it was just me just sitting on the phone under the muffin counter crying. And then because I couldn't go home and clearly I wasn't going back to work anytime soon, my parents were like, why don't you come home? And they live right outside of D.C. And my dad was supposed to be at the Pentagon that day, but he worked, I don't know, from home or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So then I went home, and that was the last train out of Penn Station the next day. I went bright and early. I just wanted to get the hell out.
Yeah, yeah.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome back to Griefcast with Carrie Adloyd.
So I went home and my mom was like, I found all this stuff in your clothes. And I had some in my hair still, like just pieces of whatever that, I don't know, paper or whatever. But she's like, I'm still washing them. Like, it's the third time. And I was just in a zone. I was like at home just doing nothing. Oh, and this is the other thing that happened. 2 weeks before 9/11, I guess like maybe for the last, maybe like 6 to 8 months before 9/11, I was having like bloody stool. It's so gross.
No, it's fine. Go for it. Yeah.
And I was at a comedy club and I noticed that I was bleeding out of my butt.
Yeah, yeah.
And
not where you want to bleed.
Yeah. And I was like, this was maybe like 6 to 8 months before 9/11. And I was like, and I always told my mom things because she was a nurse. So I was like, there's blood in my stool. And she's like, well, that's not good. So she made me go to a doctor and he's like, we need to do a colonoscopy.
Yeah.
So when I did the colonoscopy, it was like about maybe like, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks before 9/11. And my mom gets really into medical stuff because she's a nurse. So she's like, I'm coming up. I'm like, it's not a big deal. She's like, it's your first colonoscopy. You know, I'm coming up. So I went there. And of course, they found like polyps and all kinds of stuff. And one of them was like really big. And so they had to like test it for cancer or whatever. So when I got home after 9/11, I'd forgotten to call about the polyps. So I was at home in shock. I was just zoned out. And my mom goes, did you call? Did you ever call about the polyps? And I was like, I forgot all about the polyps. And she's like, why don't you call? And
okay, yeah. I mean,
yeah,
I'm
might
here.
As well. I mean, it literally doesn't mean anything after what I've been through. So, okay. And he was like, it's fine. Everything's fine. You just need to get colonoscopies, like, every 6 months, every year until these things go away. And she was so, my mom was like, like, so I could tell this just huge relief.
Yeah.
And I go, what were you more worried about, the polyps or not hearing from me on 9/11? And she was like, the polyps.
Because she's a nurse and she deals with medical stuff. This is, I can't control this other shit.
Right.
But we were dealing with this.
She goes, I had a feeling you'd be okay. And I was like, oh my God, I was so much more worried about 9/11. I wasn't even thinking about these polyps. Like they were so, it was just two different reactions to, it was just crazy.
Maybe she just had a real good instinct you were going to be fine. Like, yeah, she got it. She's right.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
Yeah.
I mean, thank God you were fine on both occasions, you
totally.
Know, like that's great. But yeah.
Yeah. But I remember like just, I don't know. It was just a weird experience to be like, God, I've forgotten all about that.
Yeah,
and she
was
like, I hadn't at all, like constantly on my mind. No young girl gets polyps at this age. You know?
You're still covered in dust. You're still in shock. Yeah. You'll get over that. But these polyps, we can deal with.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it. It's like super practical. It's like, this is a medical issue. You can go to a doctor. 9/11 is like, what the fuck do I say to my child about this? It's
right.
It's entirely random and mental insane. It's too big to discuss, isn't it? It's just like, your brain is just like, okay. But polyps can be fixed. That's something we can
do,
Carmen.
That's why, exactly. That's why I'm like, they're not, you know, don't worry about it. Yeah. Anyone with colon problems gets, I don't know.
Okay, you're on the register now. They keep an eye on you.
Exactly.
Wow, that must have been so, and that's the thing, I guess after like a massive shock as well, it's like, all you want to do is talk about it because it's like you can't believe it's happened to you. But like also like you said, there's this sort of weird no time where like you're not at work, you're not having fun, you're not like on your holidays, you're just sort of there.
And then I couldn't, I wanted to get to Virginia to just get out of there. But then it was about, I only bought a one-way ticket because I didn't know it was happening.
Yeah,
so, and then after like 3 days, I was like, I have to go back. Like I was like, I need to be there. I needed closure. I needed to go. Because, you know, I was watching all these like pictures and everything in the.
Yeah.
And so, and I went back there and I just couldn't, you know, you just mourn for all these faces and all these people and everything.
So you went back to visit this, the tower site or like.
No, I mean, I went to like every little park had flowers and vigils and candles and stuff. So
you didn't go back down to that area?
I don't think I went down there for a while. I don't think I was at work for like 2 weeks.
Wow.
And everything was different. You know, the subways were quiet.
Yeah.
You know, some of them had a weird smell to them because, you know, things had happened down there. And I remember I lived in New Jersey and it was, planes would go over all the time. Mm. And I just remember just like, being reacting to that, yeah. you know, and just feeling so, I just felt stupid for a really long time. I just couldn't help it.
Why did you feel stupid?
I think I just, I was like, all these people died and didn't want to be there. And I just put myself there. Like, what a dumb thing to do. Like, I could have, you know, I could have killed,
yeah.
I could have died yeah. and I did it myself. And these yeah. people didn't want to be there and they had to die. So I just felt really guilty for a long time.
But I think it's so human. And especially, that's what I mean, in a city where you've never had a terrorist attack before.
Yeah.
You know, like, of course, it's like a child. It's like, if you've never been bitten before, you know, you put your hand in the lion's mouth.
Right.
'Cause you're like, oh, what is it?
Yeah.
And then, like, everyone's like, don't do it. But the child doesn't know. You
yeah.
have to get burnt to learn. Like, that's...
Right, right.
And I really felt like, as a Londoner, when I would see the New Yorkers talking about it, I was like, oh, it's never happened.
So right.
They didn't know, like, when that sound happens, like... And maybe I'm being very, like, morbid, but I remember as a kid, like, you'd hear a bang, and you'd be like, was that a bomb? In London, anyway.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, well, what was that? And then you'd be like, no, it wasn't. And weirdly, I was on the tube when 7/7 happened. So it was a really weird thing that, like, I was with my two school friends, and we were in, you know, the rush hour, which we wouldn't normally be. We were, like, supposed to be going on a job for her mum, was, like, a business lady, and she wanted us to help out at this conference and, like, get three teenage girls to do it. And so it was really weird that we were on the tube, and we were on the Northern Line, and that's the one that the guy's bomb didn't work.
Mm.
So it stopped at Euston. And then they said, we're waiting and waiting and waiting. It's packed. It's just rammed with people. And then they were like, everybody has to get off. The tube is closed, which has never in my life as London ever happened, ever.
Yeah.
Like, they always go, Bakerloo line's closed. Everyone needs to get bus. Sorry. And it was so, you could feel like, I instantly, as a Londoner, was like, this is not good. This is, why would every tube line be closed? And we were like walking through the tunnels, and it was, yeah, hideous. You're like, I just need to get out of this station. And Euston is massive, and you're going through these, you know, and you're looking. All I could see was people there and people behind me. And you're like, if anything happened right now, we're all dead.
Mm-hmm.
And we came out of Euston, and we were trying to get to King's Cross, and, you know, same thing. There's all this, we can see down the road, there's all this tape and there's all these police cars. And we're like, oh, and again, it didn't quite occur to me there was a bomb. Weirdly, I just felt like something is up. And we walked, we didn't know buses, we didn't understand, because we weren't like mm-hmm. that commutery then. So we were just like walking around the corner, and the bus exploded from where the street we'd just turned.
Oh my God.
And again, I remember that if it turned around, and it was obviously not as huge as that, but there's all this smoke and everyone starts running.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I know that feeling. It's like a disaster. You're like, why is everyone running? Like,
yeah.
your brain is like, and my friend said, that's a bomb. And I went, no, a skip must have fallen.
A skip?
You know,
a
the skip? So like what builders have, like those big metal
containers. Yes.
What would you call that? And like,
oh.
they just throw their builders rubbish
yeah.
into it. We call
like
them skips.
Like a bin or something?
Yeah, like a big bin. Like it's
yeah.
huge, and you like put it in the skip.
Oh, okay.
And they, you know, sometimes they like crane them up
yeah.
and they drop them onto the ground really loudly. And I was like, it was builders. It was a skip. Because I was just like, I cannot deal. And then they started running, and we just started running. We
yeah.
just started running. And I was
yeah.
like, where are we running to? The whole street is just running. And, you know, I remember that feeling of just being like, it's the end of the world. And I had a phone then. So I was trying to call my boyfriend at the time, and I got through to him, and I was like, something awful has happened. He was like, no, it hasn't. There's nothing on the radio. You're crazy. Don't calm down. And I was like, no.
You're like, don't tell me to calm
yeah,
down.
Yeah, I was like, no. Because yeah. they hadn't announced it, because they didn't want to scare the shit out of everyone.
Right.
So it hadn't been announced on the radio yet. It was only the people there.
Right.
It just happened. And then they scrambled the mobile phones, so you couldn't get hold of anyone after that, because they were worried about the
right
attackers or other bombs hitting. So after that, I was just like, and I remember that, like, yeah, walking in a city that's just silent,
mm-hmm.
and helicopters started going over us, and we found this Spanish lady, weirdly, and mm-hmm. She was completely lost. And she lived in North London. We were like, we live in North London. We're going to walk back. So we walked with this lady.
Mm-hmm.
And you would see like packs of people. And you'd be like, hi, you know, they were going that way. We're going this way. And we didn't even know the fuck we were going. We'd never walked in that.
Right.
You know, never done it before. But it's the same as you were just trying to go home. And luckily there was no tunnel. So we just walked and walked and walked. It took us like 3 hours to walk, or 2.5 hours. Because it's like right at the end. And then her boyfriend like met her and was like, oh, thank you so much. And we like had this big hug, and like, mm-hmm. it was like, bye. I'll never, so I never see you
again.
I don't know
yeah.
who you are. But she was like, oh, thank you so much. Because she didn't have a fucking clue what was going on. But that feeling of like, oh, I'm at the end of the world. This is it. This is it. Because once you've heard something like that, and I can't imagine, because obviously a bus bomb is fucking awful, but two buildings collapsing is just... That sound.
It's just surreal. Yeah.
So surreal.
It's so surreal. And I worked back at Goldman later, instead of being in like the fishbowl, like doing work. I was a receptionist and then I worked a little bit because, you know, they'll throw you around since you're a temp. They'll be like, well, this week, this other building needs you.
Yeah.
So I was in this other building for a while and it was on the top floor and it was the 50th floor and it was like a trading floor. So there are a lot of brokers up there. And I had this boss, and she was very anxious in general. She was just very, like, hot-blooded. And one day a plane just flew by because we were on the 50th floor. Just, you know, every day you see a plane, and it was, like, eye level to us. And she lost it. Whoa. Like, it was her version of PTSD from 9/11. And... You know.
I mean, I'm not, I mean, you, of course.
Yeah.
And like traveling on the tube a couple of weeks after that, it was like, everyone was so fucking nervous. And I remember once, like this, you know, drunk, crazy guy was shouting and everyone was like, no, shut up.
Yeah.
So it was like, you do not get to have your crazy moment down here while we are all shitting ourselves. And he was like, oh, so sorry.
I'm sure with you guys as well, it like brought everyone together.
Oh, yeah. People were talking about it. And, you know, if you... You knew someone had been there, and I really know that feeling of like when it's your city. I wasn't glad I was there, but there was a weird thing of going,
like a loyalty or some kind
loyalty
of...
loyalty and like of wanting to still be in the city. Like that's what I mean. Like I totally understand because some people are like, why just move out? And you're like, no, it's my home.
My city needs me. This is my home, and I like it here.
I like it here, and I'm gonna get back on that tube, and I'm gonna fucking ride that tube because fuck you, you're not gonna stop me.
Yeah,
but it was and then. There was another attack, a failed bomb, about 2 weeks after 7/7 on the tube. And it was like some kids had like put a bomb together. It was a really like, but it was the central line. And I had ridden that line about an hour before. And I came home and they were like, another tube attack. And that's when it hit me. And I burst into tears and started sobbing. So I was like, fucking hell, again. I was right by it again, and I didn't know, and I just... And again, you feel like you said this, that unbelievable guilt of like, well, I'm fine, and I'm in shock, and I'm, oh my God, but, you know, there was a boy from my school whose dad was on the Piccadilly line, and he died on that tube. And it just, you know, and I know there's obviously awful things that happen every day all over the world.
Right.
We can only talk about our own experiences, but...
But it's also the, you know, the cert people waiting to hear, people waiting to find out. And
especially 9/11, it was so huge.
It was so huge. And I went to, I was like, how can I, you know, help? There was, you know, there was a feeling that I needed to work, like, deal with this.
Yeah,
but at the same time, I wanted to give back. So I went to down there, they had, like, volunteer stations for, like, feeding the firefighters and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
And they also had, like, social workers that you could talk to. And I remember I went to a social worker, and she was just awful.
Oh, no.
She was like, she sounded like she was a reporter. She's like, so tell me what you saw. And I was like, this is not.
I don't want to read.
This is not what I want to, you know. So I was like, I'm just going to, you know, help pass out food. And, you know, that helps. But, you know, you can only do so much because they're doing all the work.
So how was it, like, the months afterwards? How was the... Because I guess it's a really weird, something as violent and traumatic that is a very strange grief because you're grieving for people you don't know. You're grieving for a world that doesn't exist at the moment of being safe and peaceful. And like you're grieving for yourself because you nearly died. It's, how did you cope with it?
I mean, it just took time, but it was a lot of it was just trying to, you know, I don't think I've ever mourned or been that sad for that long period of time, but it's almost like you need to cry to get it out, you know. So I would go to these like parks and I would listen to these vigils and people playing guitars or, you know, look at these faces on the wall that are... But after a while you're like, I need to live, you know. So you're still sad, but you... And then eventually I went down there and
How was that when you actually went down there?
I mean, I don't know how far. It's just an empty hole. And it was there for a long time. And then I had to go back to work because I don't know how, when did I leave? I forget. I got another job, which was in Midtown eventually, because they, you know, the temping just stopped or whatever. So I got another job temping in Midtown. And then they're like, can we hire you permanently? And I was like, sure. So, you know, I do stand up at night and then work here. And then like 2 years later, after I worked at this company in Midtown, they're like, we're relocating downtown. And it was right next to like the giant hole zone, you know. So I had to see that every day. And then you'd see it and you're just like, why is this taking so long? Hurry up and fill up this hole. Like, it, you know. So, yeah.
But it's a difficult thing to, like you said, to process because you're a tiny part of a massive thing.
Yeah.
And it's really, I felt like that was, I mean, I hate to compare them, but it's all I can do. With 7-7, I felt like, well, I was sort of close to something, but then there's people who were like way closer and people who were like way further away. So you sort of know your place in like literally the epicenter of the bomb, the terrorists at the event. You know how far away you were from it. So you know that you're in more shock than someone who's like, oh man, I was at home and I watched
right.
it. And you're like, oh no, I saw it. I saw it. It was awful.
And people would say that. Like, you know, even my mom would be like, oh, when I saw that on TV. But you, I understand.
Yeah,
you saw
more,
you know.
But then you'd speak to someone who was like, oh, I was standing next to the bus. And you're like, oh, okay, you worse than me.
Right, right.
And it's this weird, and we try not to talk about it in the show, of like the hierarchy of grief, but I think the hierarchy of shock is perhaps a more fairer term for this situation, because, or people who had lost people. You
yeah,
know?
And you'd always hear about someone. It wasn't anyone direct. Like, I didn't know anyone myself, but it would be like, oh, so-and-so's boyfriend's cousin was in there, you know, and you'd hear a lot of those stories.
Yeah, yeah.
And then in 2000, what year did they catch Osama?
Oh, God.
Yeah, I forget. But that year, I did my first military tour in Iraq.
Wow.
So we were flying to Baghdad. And then when we landed, they announced that he'd been shot. So it was this weird, like, oh, my God. You know, they found him. And now I'm here. And it was just so weird.
Wow. So you were doing
such
military
tours.
Such a
crazy experience. Yeah.
Did you ever talk about it in your comedy, 9/11? Did you ever talk about the experience?
I talked about it on like a couple of like podcasts, not like this where it was like a serious conversation, but no, not on stage.
Yeah.
I just, you know, it's one of those things where I'm like, there are a couple of moments that are like funny, you know, but it's not funny. So I can't, but it may be like a one person show maybe or something I could do, but.
Yeah, I mean, I guess for something as big as that and as momentous in America's history, it's like, you got to know that joke's real good. Like, if you're going to go there, it's got to be a real
good
joke.
Like a storytelling show, I might have done like a 10-minute thing, but nothing like...
Yeah.
It wasn't like a setup punchline kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's still, I don't know if you've had other moments where you're just like, I could have died right then.
Yeah,
like, you know, like taking one step forward and then seeing a giant bus. Like, and that's in the movies all the time where you just take one. And I've done that where I'm like, oh, shit, the bus is coming. And then I have to move back. And I'm like, what if I hadn't seen the bus?
I know.
And I had one recently, which was so stupid. But, you know, people walk through the trains all the time to get to the next car.
Oh, yeah.
And I've always done that.
In New York? Yeah, because I do that here and you're not meant to be. Yeah, but people do it.
Like if it's either too crowded or there's something disgusting happening on the train.
You move carriages.
You move to the car. And I did that and I tripped as I was going through.
Oh, God.
And I had read that previously, because they always have lists. Like in 2018, you know, 12 people died going through the cars. And I was like, they probably did what I did. Nothing stupid.
Yeah.
They just went and I tripped and I grabbed the door of the next one. And I was like, in my head, I was like, well, what if I hadn't grabbed that? Why? You know, it can just happen so quickly.
Yeah, it's so stupid. It can. But that's, it's such a good human lesson to learn. Like we are mortal and, you know, shit can happen. So that's why you live your life as best you can. And you tell people that matter that you love them. And you have to do these things. Because people who act like they're not going to die, I'm always like, what world are you living on? Like, you're not special. Any one of us can just fucking go like that.
In a second. Yesterday, I tripped so hard. And I usually fall when I trip. And this time, I don't know if it's because I've been working on my core, you know. But I was able to just like hold myself up.
Good work.
But it took... like four steps. It was one of those, I'm falling, I'm falling. And it, I don't think I've ever experienced it that long. I was like, here it comes. And thank God on the fourth step, there was a brick wall and I just ran right into it. But I'm like, what if it had been a car or a fire or a baby, you know?
Yeah.
And I wanted a drink so bad after that. And I was like, I have a show. I have to just do my show. But I was like, you know, you never know. Yeah. I literally just fell so hard into that wall. Like, that could have been a moving car.
But that's just being a human. It's like you trip, you make stupid things. And it's like when you read that, they do that list of people who died really stupidly, isn't it? The Darwin Awards or something.
Oh, like, okay.
We talked about it on the show before, and I don't like talking about it because I feel so bad, but somebody died getting their head stuck in a cinema seat.
In a what?
In a cinema seat. You know, a movie, movie seat.
Really?
Yeah, someone died getting their head stuck in it. And another guest brought it up, and I was like, oh, man. Like, there's so many ways.
There's so many ways.
There's so many ways. But it's okay. Mostly you're fine. You have to remember the 99% time. 99 out of 100 people don't get their heads
stuck. This is probably why I don't have kids, because I'm afraid they die.
Yeah.
My sister, her kids are like 10 and 13 now. But when her little one was like, I don't know, like 6 months, we heard, I was like spending the night in Spain, and my sister woke me up in the middle of the night. She's like, Carmen, I need your help immediately now. And I go into the room, and Nicole, the baby, had her head stuck in the crib. Like, she stuck her
the
between the bars. And I was like, go! And I just did that Superman pulling the bars apart, and then she gently shoved her head. And I was like, oh my God, like, that gave me such panic for so long. I'm like, my little babies. Oh.
I know, but that's
and to see them suffer and like with her head stuck in the crib.
But you see, that's what we have to remember. We hopefully make stupid decisions, and hopefully there's a brick wall or a brilliant auntie to like wrestle your head out. Like, hopefully that's how we get by. That's what you have to remember. There should be somebody, hopefully, 99 out of 100 times.
I know.
Obviously, not every time. But you're still here, and we're very glad that
you're
here. Well, Carmen, thank you so much for talking to me.
Oh my gosh, thank you. No, thanks for having me.
It's amazing. Thank you so much. You can follow Carmen on Twitter at Carmen Comedian, that's C-A-R-M-E-N, Comedian. Head to her website, carmenlynch.com, for more information of all her clips and her stand-up shows, including the show Dance Like You Don't Need the Money, which you can download and stream. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at The Griefcast. The show was edited by Kate Holland, with thanks to Whistledown Studios, and the music was provided by The Glue Ensemble. And remember, you are not alone.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.